Before we get started, I want to shout out our sponsors here on the BCP. As always, the BCP is brought to you by our favorite store, Funkenstein Wrestling Superstore, located online and at the Englishtown Flea Market in Englishtown, New Jersey, on Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Blue Building. Get your wrestling stuff, retro video games, G.I. Joes, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. It's our favorite store. Thank you, Heather and Dan, for sponsoring the show. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Mania Club. Established in 2015, Mania Club is a WWE-recognized community for fans with an eclectic love for both the world of professional wrestling and raising money for Connor's Cure. During WrestleMania weekend, we host the official tailgate of WrestleMania while also celebrating the life of Connor McCulloch. They're the single largest donor within the V Foundation for Connor's Cure with over $150,000 raised. Please donate and join the Facebook group over at Mania Club. Donate at jimmyv.org/maniaclub. The BCP is also sponsored by the No Gimmicks Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast that keeps it 100% real, 100% of the time. The No Gimmicks Podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Shout out, Kelvin. Check out the No Gimmicks Podcast. Wrestling All Day, All Night is the best wrestling discussion group on Facebook. We provide more of a community feel here and have wrestling fans introduce other fans to something they may have not seen before, such as old school wrestling, indie wrestling, Japanese wrestling, and more. We also strive to be a source for information regarding upcoming wrestler meet and greets and signings. And remember, we're open 24/7, all day, all night. Be sure to follow on socials and join the group on Facebook at Wrestling All Day, All Night. The BCP is also sponsored by Warriors of Wrestling. Warriors of Wrestling proudly presents Intergender Warfare. It's going to be at St. Finbar Catholic Church, 1839 Bath Ave in Brooklyn, New York, Friday, November 10th, featuring Miranda Eleze, Taya Valkyrie, Zaya Brookside, Giselle Shaw, Darius Carter, Vicious Vicky, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now at warriorsofwrestling.com, and don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Please welcome in our new sponsors, the Sweet Chin Musings Podcast. Sweet Chin Musings is the creation of the reigning, rarely defending, highly disputed champion of wrestling podcast, Mr. Perfect Mike Mueller, and his tag team partner in crime, Luke Kudialis. SCM focuses on the in-ring products of WWE and AEW. No dirt sheet rumors here, as well as backstage news, predictions, and analysis of characters, storylines, and major pay-per-views. Old school fans, don't worry, we have you covered too, with a look back on classic matches, top 10 lists, and interactive tournaments that let the fans decide who is truly the best of all time. You can find us on Facebook at Sweet Chin Musings, and be sure to check out the podcast on all your favorite podcast major streaming platforms. We also got to shout out our new sponsors, the United States Department of Nerds, the USDN Podcast, a podcast presented by Dat Feeling Podcast Network, LLC. The USDN Podcast is run by Jeffrey T. Fountain, a BCP Plus contributor, Jennifer Johnson, Eric Johnson, and Tay Stith, and is also home to the Queens of Nerdom Podcast. USDN Podcast is a safe place for all nerds where they can come to be entertained, learn, and embrace debate. USDN prides itself on being by the people, for the people, and of the people. Here at the USDN, we strive to bring you the best content we can find where you know it comes with the USDN seal of approval. We always strive to give you factual data, and if it's a rumor, we'll always preface it with the rumor alert before dropping the freshest info. However, once those rumors are proven true, you can bet your money we at USDN are slamming the stamp down and giving it the USDN seal of approval. Hit our links on social media for all our merch. This ad is USDN approved. The BCP is now sponsored by the international shiny star, Ray Kalitri. Kalitri has honed his craft traveling and wrestling all over the world, including destinations such as Mexico, Peru, Puerto Rico, and even Egypt. The ISPW Tri-State Champion and Golden Ticket Holder is also one of the longest reigning ECPW Light Heavyweight Champions in history. Kalitri also holds an international championship that he won in Mexico. Always known for his appreciation of world culture, the Shiny Star is also known for his taste for high fashion, lavish lifestyle, and fast cars. However, he is most prominently known around the globe for his unparalleled in-ring acumen and skill set. Be sure to follow Ray Kalitri across the board on social media, at Kalitri Ray on Twitter, at PAP1Fresh on Instagram, and Ray Kalitri on Facebook. Guys, please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the show, GPW Productions. GPW provides your promotion or event with top-tier video and audio production, live streaming, and more. I can personally vouch for them in saying they're hands down the best production company I've ever worked with, as they continue to work with the likes of AEW, GCW, StarCast, MLW, not to mention the majority of the local independent promotions here in the tri-state area. They can even help you film a vignette or promo for your persona or gimmick. And guess what? GPW doesn't just work in wrestling. They cover MMA, boxing, basketball, or any other sporting event as well. Guys, on a personal note, as always, I'd like to thank Mike Sesko, Frank Leone, O'Neill Andrews, and the team for giving me multiple opportunities to work with them and some of the best talent in the world. Book GPW for a promotion or event today at contact@gpwproductions.com. Thank you to our new November sponsor on the pod and the site, BCP Plus, the Rock and Wrestling Collector, located in Stockholm, New Jersey, featuring all of your favorite rock and wrestling collectibles. This is owned by ISPW head honcho, Mr. Tommy Fierro. The Rock and Wrestling Collector makes its grand opening on Black Friday. Don't miss it, and be sure to follow at the WC Store and at 80s Wrestling on socials. Let's rock. Please welcome in our new pod sponsor for the month of November, Pro Wrestling Magic. PWM presents Holiday Road to Kingdom Come at the Mecca in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, and streaming on IWTV on November 25th, featuring Cheeseburger, Darius Carter, Adina Steele, Ruthless Lala, Steve Pena, Kerr, Vinny Pacifico, Death Row, Hispanos Unidos, and a whole lot more. Get your tickets now. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsor for the month of November. Savage Kingdom presents an epic Swerve Strickland signing on December 29th in Flushing, New York. Come meet and greet one of AEW's top stars, podcast hosts, and musicians over at the Wrestling Universe. Pre-purchase link in comments for the tickets. And on a personal note, thank you, Greek Savage, for the support and always helping with our charitable endeavors. Guys, please welcome in our new sponsors for the podcast and the site, Crusaders Collectibles, wrestling games, live signings, and more, and Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook. Crusaders Collectibles is your destination for some of the best signings, live sales, games, and more. They are mostly wrestling, but you may see some other items at times. We are a family here and want everyone to be treated like family. You'll be able to find custom edits, photos, figures, cards, belts, pops, and more here. Many of those will even be autographed. Wrestling Collectors Federation on Facebook features amazing auctions, sales, pick events, and even mystery drawings for some truly unique items for any serious wrestling collector. Be sure to join the group and get in on the fun. On a personal note, I'd like to thank him. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into a very special WWE Crown Jewel Predictions panel episode of the BCP. Guys, we have, well, we gathered our all-star stellar panel here. Guys, please welcome to the show. Who should we start out here with first? Let's start with the long resume. You know her from Kimmy Talks Wrestling, the PopBreak.com, BCP Plus, the Bob Culture Podcast. I think she's working with all the talent in AEW. Marie Callis's personal protege. She's got an ROH, YouTube, the list goes on and on. We don't got time. We got to keep it moving, Kimmy. I'm sorry I can't list all the accolades. Kimmy, so cool. What's up, Kimmy?
You know what the worst part is? You didn't even name, your Warriors of Wrestling commentary partner.
We do that together.
Trying to hit our times. And we do, and you're doing a great job, too, Kimmy. I apologize.
Thanks. It's okay, you know, I will forgive you, but just know I'm going to defeat all of you tonight, and I'm going to go undefeated in AEW, though. It's going to happen.
Wow, all right. Strong words. All right, Kimmy, we'll see what you got. And let's throw it over to the man, and I literally sat down with this man. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings. We thought the Giants were going to win. That's a story for another day. We're sitting there, and I'm like, you have been on the Eli Drake train for such a long time, man, retweeting this guy, following this guy. I think he may have retweeted you some times here and there back in the day, man. And now LA Knight, the top-selling merch guy in WWE, arguably the most popular guy in WWE, and Mr. Matt Witt is, oh, yeah, let's hear it, rocking the merch. I think you said, ladies and gentlemen, yeah. The Annie Smark. Matt Wittes, I think you said this is like the second WWE shirt you've bought in a couple years, right?
Ever.
Ever.
Second non-event shirt I've
okay.
since watching since 84, and this is like the second non-event shirt I've ever bought.
That's awesome, man. Dude, we were talking about, I was like, do we start with LA Knight Roman? We'll save it. We'll save it for the main. That's it. But first, guys, we have to welcome back to the show. Oh, she's rocking the I didn't even notice. I was doing tech. She's rocking the BCP shirt. Order yours now. Bob Culture Podcast. You know her from all over the place. Socially Distanced Podcast. Number one Star Wars aficionado and wrestling aficionado. Please welcome back to the show, Miss Amanda Rivas. What's up, Amanda?
Thank you guys for having me. It's always great to talk wrestling. I love it. I love you guys. This is the best. And this is going to be quite the card to talk about. So I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. There's literally Amanda Pops in the chat. Lots of yes in the chats as well. Emil in the chat. I want to shout out Emil in just a few minutes. He's got a special giveaway in his groups, and he is sponsoring the show as well. We'll get to that in a little bit. Let's start with the pre-show match here. And I believe, what is it, Kimmy? Sami Zayn taking on...
versus JD McDonagh.
JD
the
McDonagh.
The special guest person in the Judgment Day, who so sadly keeps getting beat up. He could just... nothing's ever good enough for JD McDonagh to be in the Judgment Day, and sadly this isn't going to do him any favor because he's going to lose to Sami Zayn, because why wouldn't he? He's just on a losing streak that keeps going and going, and we're going to talk about this. We're in this forever recycling cycle of the Judgment Day because we can never get enough of them. They start the show, they end the show, and in the middle of the show, I'm so sick and tired of the Judgment Day. Do something else with them. Done.
And forgive me, I'm multitasking here, so I've missed half the things that you said. But I will also say, Kimmy, I'm doing tech over here. And we got Kelvin from the No Gimmicks podcast in the chat. Yeah, I know what you're saying about the Judgment Day. It's kind of like one of those things, like, as Bill always says, they were trying to make Fetch happen. But I feel like it happened. Like, it happened. We got Dom, we got Mommy. Like, it took a while to become organic, but now it's happened. And now we have JD McDonagh involved, who's kind of like, yeah, like you said, like the unofficial member or whatever. I'm just going to say Sami Zayn wins this one here. It's a pre-show match. Did you pick a winner on that, Kimmy?
I also pick Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn as well. Amanda, what do you got on this pre-show match?
Oh, it's Sami Zayn. He's there to just pop the crowd and just get everybody excited and just set the tone. And what way do I set the tone than with the win?
Yeah. Short and sweet. I love it. Just like Kimmy.
Yeah. Somebody had
yeah. Matt, what do you...
That's not funny.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of yes during this. What? It's a compliment. Matt, what do you got?
Do I go against the grain just to...
Oh, that guy. Positive? He's that
no,
guy.
I'm not gonna, no, I'm not going to be that guy. No, I'm going with Sami. I'll just point out, there was a time when Sami wasn't coming to these Crown Jewel events.
Facts.
He is now. I think they're going to give him a little thank you for that. But also, yeah, whatever they're going to do with JD McDonagh, whether he's going to be like Disco Inferno with NWO Wolfpack, or I doubt it's going to be like Mick Foley and the Corporation. He's kind of on the outside looking in the whole time. It's just not happening for him. Where they're going to eventually turn the corner with him, it's not going to be Saturday.
Okay, interesting. And that's a great point you bring up, Matt. You know, I think we're always so caught in the present, we forget, you know, how we got here. And that's a great point. Like, Sami didn't go. He was doing a lot of charity stuff while they were over there. So let's keep that in mind as well. Real quick, before we get to the next match, shameless promo, our sponsors, Jeffrey T. Fountain from the U.S. Department of Nerds in the chat saying Sami won't lose in Saudi. And Kelvin going against the grain. Very, very interesting. I want to shout out real quick our sponsor, Emil. He's got two groups on Facebook. Guys, if you're watching, first of all, please share the stream. It helps us a lot. Keep your picks coming. But if you're on Facebook, go over to Wrestling Collectors Federation. Lots of good merch over there. They're one of our sponsors. Description's in the link, as well as Crusaders Collectibles. And our guy, Emil, a very special offer. If you guys are watching the podcast, message Emil, message the group. When you join the group and tell them that you watch the podcast, you will be entered in a drawing for a mystery box containing, totally not reading this, merchandise, including autographed photos and figures. And Emil is legit. He helps a lot with our charity work. So, guys, please go over right now to Facebook, Wrestling Collectors Federation and Crusaders Collectibles. Join the group on Facebook. Tell them you heard it here on the BCP, and you will automatically be entered to win a mystery box. Thank you, Emil, so much. Kimmy, where are we going with the Fatal Five Way? What do you think?
I was going to go Cena and Sokoa, but if you want to go with the five-way, we could do that. It's up to you. This is your show.
I kind of, you know what, Kimmy? I will let you pick. Let's do it.
Oh, thank God. So we're going to go with John Cena versus Solo Sokoa. And if you listen to Cena's promo a couple weeks ago on SmackDown, this man has not won in like 2,000-something days, some like really weird number. And now that Ric Flair has actually signed his life away to AEW, Cena might become a 17-time world heavyweight champion. Who knows? But Cena desperately needs this win so bad because we don't know what he's going to do the rest of the year. He might even enter the Royal Rumble for all we know. So if he's going to stick around, let Cena have the win. Because Cena doesn't do these shows either a lot, especially in Saudi. So John Cena will get his win and not be losing.
Yeah, we can see him. I'm going to copy and paste, guys. You know the deal. That is my easy copy and the paste right there. Witt, is she going against the grain here? You with us?
Do you know what? No, I was thinking because John has said for a while he doesn't have a whole lot of rounds left in the chamber. He's after that Grayson Waller match, he says that's what I had to give. But now you're right. This is the first crown jewel without Brock Lesnar or
yes.
Undertaker, some other big multinational crossover name on it. I think it is, and that's what they're paying for. And I do see John Cena going over. Solo's the regular day-to-day guy with the company, but he doesn't need this. He hasn't had a title since, what was the North American title in NXT? That's not his job. It is Cena's job. It's his entire persona. So whatever they're doing, big match John comes through on this one.
Yeah, big match, John, and Cena goes over in the chat as well. Amanda, is it unanimous?
It is. I mean, Cena has given so much in this time. You know, he's not like, and I'm not trying to throw Dwayne Johnson under the bus or anything like that, but, you know, John Cena continues to come back. He continues, he still works. I mean, he is a Hollywood star now at this point. He doesn't need to come back very, very much. Like, he doesn't. He could totally pull, you know, Dwayne's schedule and just be a very, very special, a very, very special attraction. And so, you know, so he totally could just do that schedule, but he doesn't. He comes in, he puts in the work, he gives in 110%. You can tell he still loves WWE. And to give him a win, especially on a stage like this, where you're again, you know, Matt brought up a great point. There is no Brock Lesnar. There was no Undertaker. You know, you need the star power, I think. And also, I think depending on the placement on the card where this match is, this could be a match that I could see on the second, maybe in like kind of latter half, like kind of midway through the show to get the crowd re-energized and back into the rest of the action. And you need that win by Cena. Cena deserves it again. He's put in the work. He continues to put his heart out for WWE. We don't know how much longer he's got left, especially, you know, once things in Hollywood get resolved. You know, I mean, we may not have much of John Cena very, very, very much longer. So let him have the moment. Let the crowd pop for him. Solo can afford the loss. It's not going to hurt him in any way, shape or form. You know, like, again, this is what he does. You know, it's not like it's Roman Reigns that's continuously losing. It is Solo Sikoa, and no disrespect to Solo Sikoa, but he's not Roman Reigns. He's the guy that's used to taking the hits and the bumps.
Okay, buddy, thank you very much. You can watch Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh,
my son
one.
Is still in a nightmare.
Shout out! I love the shirt, by the way, Mario.
Yes, that is my little one. So he's got his predictions too. But okay. Both of us. Walks around, he'll do this too. So he's obviously picked John Cena as well. Nice. He can see him. So
that's awesome.
But yes, we're going with John Cena because we can see you. Which I love that promo, by the way, with Carmelo and Trick with the you can see me.
So good. In the chat, that kid has taste. That's right. He knows the deal. Bubba John in the chat. Big match, Bubba John. What's up? Welcome, Bubba John. Let us know who you got. And Kimmy, what do you think? Can we go to the Fatal Five Way now, please?
Sure. And you know what? You could kick us off since you're so looking forward to this Fatal 5-Way match. I don't know why. This match is not going to be very good. But go ahead, Rob.
All right. So we got Shayna Baszler. We got, we're totally not reading this, Raquel Rodriguez, the returning Nia Jax, Zoe Stark, who I'm a big fan of, and Rhea Ripley. So I'm a stats guy. I'm an analytics guy. Kimmy, you know where I'm going with this. Kimmy, how much of a chance does Rhea have of retaining the Women's World Championship here?
150 at this point.
Well, okay, please. Please. Oh, the helm is yours. And why is that?
Does anyone remember the last time she defended this title before this pay-per-view? Because I don't. She never defends this title. So why is she going to lose it now? It doesn't make sense. She'll go into WrestleMania 40 defending it against the Royal Rumble winner, whoever that may be. Please let it be... I don't know who I want it to be. It's too early for that. But Rhea Ripley's going to win because she doesn't wrestle ever. Because she's so busy with Dom.
Okay.
Well, and she's the focal point, too, of the Judgment Day at this point. Everyone's like, she's the leader of the Judgment Day. She's the leader of the Judgment Day. It makes no sense for her to... I had to jump in. I was like, please, making so many good points. I just had to jump in and just say, I'd be shocked if they took it off Rhea. The only maybe possibility, and if you want the crowd to riot, is going to be Nia Jax. If they do that, if it's WWE with the unpredictable,
people will be waiting at the airport.
Yeah, So, you know, if they really want to get the crowd upset, then that's probably the only possible person with any kind of star power momentum type of thing that maybe could, because she still has some of her, she came back kind of, you know, buzz, good, bad, and different, but nobody else has any, and again, no disrespect to any of the women here, you know, again, love Raquel, myself, you know, Zoe's awesome. It's just, you know, it's just right now, they don't have any traction. Again, that's a good discussion we've had here before with how women's wrestling is treated. I won't dive on that soapbox, but that's part of it, is you don't have anybody that you can say, hey, you know, Rhea Ripley has a credible challenger. The only person that has, again, even the slightest bit, and that's only because of the controversy that has come around to her time with WWE and her, and kind of what's happened outside of WWE, you know, in terms of her social media and stuff like that, is Nia Jax. But I don't see Rhea losing the title. There's no credible challenger for her. So like the one time a year she defends it. And again, no disrespect intended to Mommy, but she's not defending it very often. And again, she's being billed as the leader of the Judgment Day. She's everywhere right now. So I don't see them taking the title off her.
Yeah, really, very, very well said. And of course, Mommy, the number one on the PWI 250, you know, which is, I think, is very well deserved. At the same time, I think you guys bring up a great point. I see Kimmy shaking her head no, that she does not defend.
Could have been Athena.
A lot of people, on Twitter were retweeting saying Athena. So, and that's awesome to see. Athena's amazing and one of the best finishers in the business at large for sure. Kelvin in the chat saying, I love the math here. Rhea has 173.3% chance of winning. Steiner math here rules. Yeah, Matt's doing the calculations. I'm going to obviously say Rhea as well. Matt, I mean, this isn't the most exciting panel because we're all agreeing here, but that's okay because I think it's a safe bet.
Well, I thought maybe they might have been thinking going with Nia for a little bit, because when she came in, it created a big buzz. And then when she asked to lay out Rhea, one of the top five, if not top three people in the entire company, and she hits that bonsai drop and hits it so hard that some of Rhea's tattoos might have transferred to Nia's ass on that one. Maybe they said, all right, let's slow down. Maybe we got ahead of ourselves. I'm going with Rhea, but I just will point out something because this is another one of my little fave picks. Out of these five names, one of them is not like the others. The other four women all have this reputation as monsters. They're all, you know, intimidating former champions. Okay. I think they're going to give Zoe Stark a bit of a look. I think they're going to showcase her a little bit, show her being scrappy out there. She's got not a chance. She's probably number four as far as who they plan to put it on, and Rhea's the far and away number one. But I think we're going to get a good look out of her.
Great stuff, man. I love the stats, and I think that's a great point. I've been a fan of Zoe for some time now. Again, we talk about great finishers. Another great finisher. And in the chat, man, that's why I love these things. We got a back and forth between Bubba saying the ROH champ isn't going to be higher than the WWE champ. Again, just reading the comments here. Kelvin in the chat disagreeing, saying Athena is doing the work of the Lord on ROH. She should have been, and Athena absolutely killing it. Shameless promo. She took on the Vicious One. Check out the match on YouTube on AEW Dark. Shameless promo. I am not sleeping on the couch tonight. All right, guys, let's move on to the next match. I'm very excited for this one. Rey Mysterio, that's my guy. That's why I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, versus Logan Paul. And the reason I'm excited about this, because regardless of your thought, again, in this show, we talk storyline, we talk character. We're not doing any behind the curtain stuff. I love that Logan Paul, after or on a major, what was it, MMA, boxing, UFC, whatever it was, I don't follow, called out Rey Mysterio, of all people, in the WWE. I thought that was cool in a way. I thought it was very, in a way, very respectful to Rey, is just to highlight his name on such a platform. I thought it was very cool. Kimmy, you love Seth Rollins. I love Rey Mysterio. Maybe a little bit of bias here. I think it's very, very cool that he's challenging Rey for the United States Championships. I always love like the crossover stuff, and we know that there's, you know, mergers and stuff now, but I always love, you know, I always say when the Flintstones met the Jetsons, like, to me, that was the coolest thing ever. So I love like that it's on another platform and they're talking about Rey and WWE. To me, I thought that was very cool personally. And I'm excited for the match, because if you're talking work rate, you're talking moveset, you're talking high flying, I'm here for this. Rey can still go at a very high level. He's changed his offense, obviously, some, but I think he's going to pull out all the stops here. We know Logan Paul is just going to go for it, whatever it is. We saw some of the stuff he did with Ricochet. I'm actually very excited for this one. That being said, there's almost no doubt in my mind, and I rarely pick against Rey here, and I see Kimmy smiling.
I'm so scared where this is going.
I think Rey's losing the title, because, and Mueller had said this on the podcast earlier on, imagine a guy like Logan Paul taking that title everywhere. I think it was before he had faced Roman at the time. This one makes a little bit more sense, but Mueller, I believe it was Mueller, had a great point saying he's going to take this here, YouTube, boxing, MMA, wherever, you know, the talk shows, all that stuff. It transcends WWE. That's the point. Again, we're just talking business here. I'm not going to say lock of the night, because I'm saving my lock of the night for later. That being said, and people saying Rey wins in the chat, welcome in Daniel Parker. Parker Kane Promotions, thank you very much for the cooler there. Rey Mysterio is going to lose the United States Championship here to Logan Paul. Now, Kimmy, take your feelings out of it. Take your feelings out of it, right? We don't pick with our heart. We don't pick, well, we do. We do pick with our heart sometimes. But, Kimmy, is Rey losing the title here?
Yeah. Which is why I'm scared, because you and I agree. Usually when you and I agree, it doesn't happen.
Fair enough.
Which means if Rey Mysterio wins, it is Rob's fault. Okay? So please pull up Rob's phone on Saturday when Rey wins, because him and I are going to agree. It's just not going to happen. Yeah, so Logan Paul, he's back. Whoopee-doo. He'll probably come out on a camel again like he did the last Saudi. I think it was last year he came out on the camel. Because they were hinting at that thing on Instagram. They're like, what's Logan Paul going to do this year? But yeah, I mean, Logan Paul, he's lost a lot. He needs to regain a win, and this is his big win. I don't think he's going to hold the title for very long. I think he'll hold it till the Royal Rumble, until somebody beats him for it. But I think Logan Paul's going to win.
All right. And we agree here. Amanda, we need a voice of reason here. Help us out.
Oh man, I feel like, you know, I love Rey Mysterio. Grew up watching him way back when in WCW, and just, he's my sister's favorite wrestler. He was the reason why she sat down on the couch and actually watched with me and my dad growing up. So love Rey Mysterio. I mean, again, he can still go. He can still go. I mean, I nearly threw my back out, like closing my kitchen sliding door sometimes. And Rey Mysterio, I'm like, I have no reason to complain about my bad back, because Rey Mysterio is still out there doing stuff. Like, more, I think, at like somebody who's like in their 20s type of level. So so love Rey Mysterio. You know, I feel like Logan shouting him out in a different, completely different environment was not only smart and respectful for Rey, but it also draws attention, strategic for the U.S. title. Because it's not a title that gets a lot of mainstream buzz. Like, you know, again, you know, the Undisputed Championship and, you know, the WWE Championship. It doesn't get the same level of attention. And here, Logan's using, you know, his social media following, the press, to draw attention to this title, to bring, to say, you know what, yes, this is just as prestigious as these other championships that are here. I'm going to make it prestigious. So very smart, very strategic to make, to also elevate the title. In terms of the public eye. But I feel like if there's one title that's going to change hands tonight, this is the title. Saturday, this is the title. It's going to be this one. And I feel like maybe Cena and Sokoa are going to come after this match just to make the crowd feel better.
Yeah.
Because the crowd is going to go absolutely insane. They're going to go nuts. People are going to be upset. You know, we're going to see some fun lucha type of spots, which I'm excited for. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm trying to think objectively outside of my personal feelings.
I knew where you were going with that.
But technically, but I'm going on the technical standpoint here with match content and quality and spots and whatnot. I think we're going to have some fun spots. You know, you're going to get something viral. That's what Logan Paul is known for, is making a viral moment happen. So, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. I do think, you know, I'm going to be holding my breath a little bit, because sometimes Logan in his wrestling, he can get a little erratic with his energy. he's still learning. As much as he's accomplished, he's still greenish, especially not working full time like everybody else. So working with someone like Rey, who's going to be good at setting pace, he's a veteran. So I feel like Logan Paul's best match to date, with working with somebody at the level of Rey Mysterio, if he listens to Rey, you know, and like kind of just follows the pacing set in the ring. The story is there. The heat's going to be real. Again, regardless of how people feel about Logan Paul, he draws eyes to the product. So immediately there's going to be interest in this title again in the mainstream media once he wins it. And he hasn't won in some time, like Kimmy said. When you're paying Logan Paul the amount of money that you're paying him, he's going to have to start winning at a certain point. And this is going to be the moment on this huge stage at Crown Jewel.
Wow. A stellar assessment, Amanda. I always want to do like the around the horn. I always say that, like, I want to give you guys points. I'm going to have to do that sometime. Really good. Kelvin in the chat saying Santos Escobar turns and costs Rey. Santos joins Lashley. Very interesting, Matt. I hope I didn't steal your thunder there, man. I shouldn't have read that before I threw it to you, bro.
No worries on that, because it's my job to be boring now. Yeah, I am going with Logan Paul. The fact is, a few years ago, everybody in that back board office saw what he's done for boxing, says he can do it for us too, and this is going to be the next step in that. And real quick, everything that goes on with Logan Paul outside of the wrestling ring, I will say this, as a fan of pretty much all combat sports, boxing, MMA, wrestling, you name it, a lot of boxing purists hate what's going on with the Paul brothers over there and how they get that kind of buzz that they're now bringing to WWE. The sport of boxing has no one to blame but themselves, because they filled a niche that wasn't being filled. Now you've managed to sort of transfer that to professional wrestling, and he's killing it here too. As Amanda said, you're going to get like some, at least one crazy, you know, oh my God moment out of this match, to be sure. The only thing is they're probably going to get about three, and they're just going to pick which one they want to go with. So I am going with Logan Paul on this one.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair, not lock of the night, but I think it's a really fair assessment. Yeah. All right, so we have a singles match, for the women's championship, Io Sky versus Bianca Belair. I think they just announced the reality show with Montez and Bianca. That should be very, very cool. Two long-time faves. It's going to be a great match. Correct me if I'm wrong. They faced off. Was it Puerto Rico? Where did they face off? They've had this.
They have not.
They haven't even had this match. Not in singles?
No.
There's a lot of wrestling. I apologize. I thought I saw this match in some form or fashion months ago. No?
In your dream?
Probably. I mean, it is a dream matchup. Let's be real. Bianca Belair, stellar moveset. Io Sky, stellar moveset. One of the best springboard basement or springboard drop kicks you'll ever see. She gets so much height on that. High flying. Just because I don't see Bianca getting the title here, I'm going to say Io retains. And I think this low-key, am I using that right? Low-key might be match of the night right here, Kimmy. I'm going to throw it to Matt first because I don't want him to have to like be the unanimous one again.
Okay. It's not unanimous because Io's been great. Damage control thing has been going, but it hasn't been in that upper echelon, that next level. They, you know, the Roman, the Rhea, you know, where the other championships are being presented, or at least getting showcased. And I think they're going to switch gears to kind of get that, to get more of the crowd reaction and put on Bianca. She absolutely blows up the crowd every time she comes out. I was in Charlotte back this summer, and it was a smaller arena. You'd have thought it was a stadium with how they blew up for her. And that's most of the places where she goes. And some people just are immediately going to cringe when I say it. There's another player involved here. Every time that damage control is out there, 3-on-1 on Bianca, Charlotte shows up. And that's a rivalry, you know, the Charlotte-Bianca kind of thing, the back and forth. It's not that far off. Whether we like it or whether somebody likes it or they don't like it, count sometime in 2024, you know, the queen getting another reign. That might be the one that ties up. Kimmy can correct me on that. Our encyclopedia there, whether that's going to make 15 or 16.
I think it'll be 14.
That'll be 14?
I think.
That's going to be one step closer. And they're spacing them out now. They're not doing them every 3 months. But you know those are going to be amazing matches when those two go in. But to get there, Bianca's got to win it first.
Good. He's a current 14, so she'll be 15.
There we go.
Good stuff. In the chat, Jeffrey, Bianca takes it. Miguel, I say Bianca Belair. Bubba, Belair returns and takes it. Wow, I'm way off base here. Everyone's saying Bianca in the chat. Welcome in Miguel again. He also wanted to say, I think Logan Paul was going to win the last match as well, and maybe eventually LA Knight will beat him for that U.S. Championship. Yeah, I think that's good, like, playing chess right there. I hate using the term consolation prize, but I could see that title being destined for LA Knight for sure. Kimmy, go ahead, weigh in on this match, Io Sky versus Bianca Belair.
No one's going to talk about the free agent that's probably going to show up in this match.
I thought about it.
All the way from Japan?
You think it's...
The pirate herself?
Yeah. That's not what I was thinking, but yes.
Who were you thinking?
I was thinking Jade in some form or fashion
this
card.
No.
Not even her an appearance? Becky, not no, even like a Becky, on a monitor?
No, her and Becky have a thing. Her and Becky and Zaya Lee, they have a thing. So no, not yet. So I think Kairi Sane is coming because she's a free agent now. She was added to the roster as of 2:00 today. So I think if not Saturday, Kairi Sane's going to come like next Friday. But I definitely think she's going to come back. And for that reason alone, I think Io Sky has to retain here so we can get the Kairi Sane Io Sky match for the title that everyone really wants to see. So Bianca won't win. But maybe she'll be champion by the time her little show airs in February. Add some more publicity to that.
Oh, I kind of like that. Are we agreeing again for once?
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go. Vicious Vicky in the chat, my demon girlfriend, saying, Champ says, yeah. What's up, Champ? You are probably stealing all the blankets and sleeping in my spot. Amanda, what do you got on this one?
Oh, man. As much as I want Kimmy's prediction to come true, because how amazing would that be if Kyrie just showed up and challenged Io? We would get like one tremendous, from a technical standpoint, beautifully done match, women's match, if given the right time. That would be insane.
Hell yeah.
But I'm also looking at Endeavor. This is not just a WWE thing anymore. I know. It's not just WWE anymore. We're looking at Endeavor. And as a whole, they're going to want to make, you're looking at a bigger business conglomerate, it's going to want to make more money. And with Bianca having her reality show coming through, Bianca and Montez kind of just being more in the forefront in the media, I feel like this is one of those, and I have a lot of heartburn because I want Io to retain, because I feel like she hasn't had enough of a, she hasn't a strong enough run yet to really show what she can do. I'm glad she has the title. I want to see her do more. I want to see more defenses. I want to see, because I mean, we've all seen the caliber of her work and we know she can put on some bangers. I want that. But I also look at, this is a business. And business says, hey, we need to draw more eyes to the product. People know Bianca Belair. She's out in the media. She's out here. So I feel like it may be one of those situations where they put it on Bianca to draw eyes, but then Bianca loses it at the Rumble. They're going to play hopscotch with this little, hot potato with this title. I can see that happening, which is a WWE thing to do. And it drives me nuts, but I can see that, because then it could drop to Charlotte Flair at the Royal Rumble. Who knows? They may even scare, kind of just shock everybody, throw it on Jade. They could, you never know where it's going to go. When we think that things will make sense, and I feel comfortable with Triple H, and it makes me happy, because there's a little bit more stability. It's still WWE. It's still a business. He still has to deal with Endeavor. So I can see them putting the title on Bianca to draw eyes, Bianca losing it maybe to Io, maybe to Charlotte at Royal Rumble, but still involved in the title picture because of the reality show. Whether she keeps it or loses it, Bianca will be there.
Good.
But I think I'm going to vote against you guys and go Bianca this time.
Good thinking. I like it. And in the chat, echoing what I'm thinking literally right now, Amanda getting all the love in the chat tonight. Okay, Amanda.
Thank you, guys.
I see we got to have the Amanda merch pretty soon. Okay, Amanda, I see your business sense and I respect it. Wow. Amanda swayed me. Look, Amanda, you're winning them over in the chat right now. What is going on here? Very, very interesting. Do we get everyone on this one?
Yes.
You got you, Matt?
Yes.
Yep. All right, let's move on to Cody Rhodes versus Damian Priest. And the criticism I have heard most about this, Matt, you guys got to guess what the criticism is.
Why is Cody Rhodes stuck in a Judgment Day storyline?
Fair enough.
It's literally California.
Fair. I think that's fair. I was going to say, the question asked, why isn't the briefcase on the line sort of a I mean, I get it. There is a very slow build here. I think we all kind of see leading up to Mania 40. We'll see what happens. A lot of rumors. We will certainly see what happens. Cody Rhodes, Damian Priest. I don't think Cody takes a singles L for a while here, purely based on that. A lot of times, those Money in the Bank briefcase holders, i.e. Austin Theory, take a lot of L's. Total Judgment Day interference. I'm going to say maybe Jay pops up in this one, a little save thing. We're setting up for Survivor Series here. There are Survivor Series implications in this match, whether it's going to be a War Games, whether it's going to be the classic Survivor Series match out in Chicago. We'll certainly see. Kimmy already shaking her head, so I'll throw it to her next. I don't see Cody Rhodes taking a singles loss for a little while here. Kimmy, why am I wrong?
Because it has already been confirmed it's a War Games match. They confirmed that like 2 months ago. And like the poster already says War Games.
Does it? I remember that happened last year.
Hmm.
It's probably going to be Judgment Day versus a miscellaneous team of Cody Rhodes and Uso and Kevin. No, maybe not Kevin. Sammy, whatever they want to do with that. Why is Cody Rhodes stuck in this storyline? Can we please move on? It is the same thing every week. We start Monday Night Raw every week with the Judgment Day, and then Cody Rhodes, and then Jey Uso. I'm so bored. And my man's on that show. I got to enjoy Monday Night Raw for the 20 minutes he gets. But no, Judgment Day and Cody Rhodes gets like a spot every single hour, and then it ends the same. Cody's getting beat down. I don't care anymore. You're making me not care. Cody's going to get the dumb win, and Damian Priest is not going to get involved in the Seth Rollins match, or else I'm going to cry. So that can't happen.
I think that's a great assessment, actually, Kimmy. I agree with
Thank you. Thank
you. Very good.
Stop agreeing with me. This is a problem.
But I do think you bring up some very good points. I don't know how to take that. My feelings are hurt a little bit. Kelvin in the chat saying, no way Cody loses this match. Jeff in the chat saying, Cody all day. Gina, welcome in. Gina from ISPW saying, I'm going with Damian Priest on this one. So, yeah, that'd be a big win for Damian Priest. Miguel saying, if the briefcase was on the line, Cody would win it. Then I say I want that match at Mania 40 for the title. Yeah, we'll see. Briefcase, again, not on the line, but that was the comment I heard the most is the briefcase should be on the line here, but I don't think you're going to get it. It's going to be a slow burn. It's going to be a slow burn for sure. Matt, what do you got?
Yeah, because the briefcase isn't on the line, it doesn't make sense for the briefcase to be on the line because it's, hey, we have beef, especially because you tried to take out my ankle. But I'll only fight you if you put the briefcase on the line? No. Cody's going in there. He's going for blood because they tried to take Bone. And, yeah, I see, again, Cody, he's still finishing the story. He's not taking a loss here. But one thing is maybe they worked some sort of an injury angle out of this to kind of keep him away till the Rumble or have him come out later so he has another big return somewhere, like at the Rumble. But other than that, no, this is going to be pretty straightforward. This is going to be a W for Cody.
Yeah, I hate that you said, when you said injury, I was like, oh, like this is kind of like that time of year where they start building, putting the foot on the gas a little bit, and like there's always like a major, and I'm not jinxing it, I'm not like trying to manifest that in any way, man. But just, I was just like, oh, it's kind of that time of year. And that might be a good point. Like maybe they're keeping it like kind of light and easy for Cody for sure. That's interesting. Kelvin in the chat, and I'm a stats guy. Cody has a 96% win percentage since his return. It's insane. I love the stats. I love that stat. For more of that, check out No Gimmicks Podcast. Kelvin, shout out for that. Amanda, Cody's winning here, right?
Oh, man. With Cody this match, I'm with Kimmy. I would love to see Cody move away from the Judgment Day, but there's nowhere else for Cody to go at this point. You have to keep him away. Right now you have Roman and LA Knight. Cody has to be kept away if you want that to work. And Cody and Seth Rollins has already been done multiple times. WWE has written itself in a corner with Cody Rhodes because he has the story that he's going to finish. He's trying to get this title, but he can't go near it because now you have the hottest superstar on the roster in LA Knight. That's right there. And if you're going, you want to hurt LA Knight, you don't want to hurt Cody Rhodes. I mean, so they're kind of in a pinch here. So there's really nowhere for Cody to go at this point. But Matt, I like your idea of, hey, because right now too, Cody is stuck in the same place. Like he's a tremendous athlete. He's tremendous on the microphone. He has all the tools. Like he is incredible, but he's stuck in this rock and a hard place right now because his story can't go anywhere with others. Pop's got and getting up there over him. And again, LA Knight, I love him, rightfully so. He's put in the work, but you're in a corner at this point. Again, you've beaten Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes to death at this point. I like the idea of maybe an injury storyline or something to take him out and maybe have him come back in a fresh way where people can be excited about his return again. Because I think he's been stuck in this gear for a while now where I feel like his momentum, even though he still gets a great pop from the crowd, it's not where it used to be a little bit. Like others are outshining him. And so, you know, so he's in a rock and a hard place right now, but I can still see him still taking the win here because this is, there's no stakes in this match. I think it'll be a fun match. I think it'll still be a good match. Technically, you know, Cody is going to do Cody. You know, Damian Priest, you're going to see antics from the Judgment Day because that's how it always is. It's very, very routine. So I don't see this being, you know, like a match of the night or anything like that. I think this is going to be kind of consistent with what we've seen on Raw so far. I mean, you know, you still have kind of some of that tease tension with the Judgment Day and all of that. I think it's just going to be like Kimmy said, you know, with moving towards War Games at this point. So I think this is just going to be more of a further the narrative type of thing, the current narrative and current storyline versus anything that's going to have versus either of them having like a breakout moment. So I think this is going to be kind of a mid, even though that's shocking for me to say about a Cody Rhodes match, but that's where he's at right now, just stuck at that level. So this is going to be kind of consistent with him being stuck where he's at the moment.
Great. Amanda just won the podcast. I think you bring up some really good points because I'm a big believer of, you know, you wait too long, things become inorganic. Other people are on the rise, injuries. Even, you know, you could even take the Bloodline story, not saying that they had to dissolve or break up or anything like that. But I always say, how much is too much? You know, and right now it's almost like you're waiting to get things going, you know, for certain pay-per-views or Mania or Rumble or Road to WrestleMania. And some things kind of feel like they're in that limbo. I think you bring up some really great points. And it's kind of like, what do you do with Cody? He's not going to fight Seth. They teased it once briefly. He came out when he had the title and then he got interrupted and jumped and Seth just walked right out of the ring. That's right, Kimmy. Seth walked out of the ring. That's a story for another day. Didn't even help the guy. You know, they had some history, but I digress.
He has other things to deal with.
Fair enough.
Sir. A broken back.
Fair enough. All right. He's being smart. He's got a target on his back for sure. Now, Kimmy, is this the point where you yell at me or do we have one more match?
You forgot about Seth's match. Are you freaking kidding me?
Seth who? There's a Seth? Oh, Seth Rollins.
Amanda's son is also named Seth.
Little Seth Rivas.
Oh, well, that's Seth. I know that Seth.
Who always cheers for Seth Rollins. He has this little mask.
That's
what he says. He's going to wrestle one day, and he's going to be Seth Rollins. I was like, well, buddy, you're going to have to pick a slightly different name because that one's taken, but... You know, if you want to wrestle, like, well, I'm going to be Seth Rollins, and I'm going to wrestle just like him. I was like, okay, we'll do that.
Seth Rollins Jr. It's okay.
Yeah, Seth Rollins will have a son. He could be Becky's son. They had a son, and here.
Okay, it could be like a Rey Mysterio thing, you know, where it's like passed on, you know, the Seth Rollins moniker. All right, well, shout out other Seth, but let's talk Seth Rollins defending his World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. A little bit of a, not edgier, but a little more of a more focused attitude. I thought the little vignettes weren't so bad. A little bit rushed, but again, it's like one of those things, like who's Seth going to face here? I wouldn't hate it if Drew won here. It's not an attack on Rollins. I wouldn't hate it. Because the question is, then who? But we've said over and over on this podcast, like, when does Drew get that moment in front of the fans? And there's gonna be a lot of fans here. I don't know. Bill in the chat saving the day. What up, lay editor in chief Bill Bodkin? We miss your face on this one. We'll be talking AEW in a couple weeks. Don't worry. I think Drew. Oh, I'm gonna get interesting here. I'm picking against Seth Rollins here. I think Drew gets. Maybe I'm picking with my heart here. It's not personal. I think Drew.
Yes, it is.
I think Drew gets the moment here, and it's not even like he's total face or total heel yet. Like a little bit more edgier now. I could see it, man. Seth is the safe pick. Does this title change here for Drew, and Seth gets to kind of heal up a little bit, you know. I'm sure there's some truth, you know. Especially, I know a lot of wrestlers. It ain't in ballet, as they say. I don't know. I'm again, Kimmy. I know you're gonna pick with your heart, but just think about it. Hear me out. Drew McIntyre, guys in the chat. Does Seth retain here? Let's find out in the chat. Am I way off base here? Does Drew have a big moment here and win the World Heavyweight Championship? I'm gonna go Drew McIntyre. No. Kimmy, the floor is yours.
First of all, like Bill said, Drew has yet to sign a new deal, okay? So you're going to give the man without a contract a title? How does that make sense, Robert?
Fair point.
Okay. Second of all, it seems... I did. Second of all, it seems as if we've really been kind of hinting that Rollins and Gunther might happen at WrestleMania. That's been rumored for a little while, which is why Rollins will be keeping that title until WrestleMania 40.
Fair point.
Which is why it does not make sense for Drew to win. And you know what? Maybe Rollins is going to take Survivor Series off, like Roman Reigns, who this Sunday or Saturday is his last match for the year. So why can't Rollins just do that to heal up like Roman Reigns? Because you know what? If the Tribal Chief could do it, why can't Rollins do it? But Rollins will be winning. He'll have the match tonight and carry this whole show on his back like he's been doing since he won that damn title.
I want to have a comeback. I might cry a little bit. Those were really good points, and I can't argue with any of them. Touche, Kimmy. Touche. Matt, what do you got?
This is definitely one of the toughest calls on this card, because we've been saying for at least the last 6 months, every time there's a match with Seth, it's like, no, Seth needs to have this title longer to legitimize this title. Still a new one. And he's still the inaugural champ with this belt, correct?
Yes.
So has it been long enough? Has he made this title mean enough yet that if it went to somebody else, they're a real champion? And if you're going to put it on someone, Drew's a great choice. Seth has been the workhorse. He has done an amazing job legitimizing a new title. He's going out, putting on banger matches, coming out every Monday night, doing this cackling weirdo character that is somehow incredibly charismatic, no matter what weird boots he's wearing or curtain he turned into a shirt or whatever else is going on there. He's been killing it. The only reason why I hesitate to pick Drew on this one, because it would be a big moment in front of a big crowd, is that Survivor Series is coming up. How many people are on a traditional Survivor Series team?
It's five, right?
It's five. If we count JD McDonagh, how many males are in the Judgment Day?
Four.
Oh, hell
and they've been, and they've been showing Drew, they've been showing Rhea in the background of different people's vignettes getting into Drew's ear. So maybe it is going to happen, but I don't think it happens yet. I think a loss to Seth and then just kick the shit out of him afterwards to get his heat back is what's going to push Drew into the Judgment Day. So I'm going with Seth on this one.
That, man, you guys are killing. You just like makes those like long-term storytelling, man. That makes a whole lot of sense. I can't change my answer. I won't change my answer. We can't do that here on the show. But really good assessment. Amanda, you've been killing it this whole podcast. What do you got?
I don't know, man. Matt just, hey, man, he cashed in his money in the bank and just took it. That was brilliant, because it's something
it
that
makes sense.
It makes sense, because I mean, you look at
it's probably not gonna happen, but
well, I mean, you're not off the mark though, like at all. Like, I mean, you see it. I mean, even I want to say, was it the last vision that they did? You know, Seth called him out for it. Well, what were you talking to mommy for, kind of thing, you know? And so, I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility, and you know, I know we haven't talked about this yet, but there hasn't been for me as much buildup for a lot of these, you know, at least here. I appreciate that, you know, this is just a testament to Seth and Drew as talent, in that here's the promos, here's what you have to do to build up this match. And they still did it, even though I feel like I wish I had more of a buildup for this match. And you know, and this match was one that I agonized. It's probably one of the ones that I agonized the most about, other than, you know, my tribal chief, who I will always acknowledge and adore and choose my heart on that one. But that's where my logic goes out the window sometimes. I know. But I mean, the way Kimmy feels about Seth Rollins, you know, I'm like right there. I mean, other than my Flamingo King, it's Roman Reigns. Nice. Like, it's Roman Reigns, like right there. So You know, with this one, I went back and forth a lot because one, I think this has the potential to be match of the night. Drew and Seth have outstanding chemistry. I enjoy their matches, especially in front of what's going to be a very energized crowd. At this point, especially after Mysterio, Paul, and Cena and Sokoa. So this is going to be, I think technically it's going to be a fantastic match right off the bat. Chemistry is going to be hard hitting. It's going to be, and who knows what Seth's going to come out wearing. I actually do get a kick out of him. Like, what's he going to wear today? So, you know, this is going to be, he's going to come out in something more Seth than Seth for sure, since it's Crown Jewel. So I feel like, you know, as much as the narrative about Drew not winning a championship in front of a crowd has been told, and it's a valid one, it was well told for the short buildup that they've had so far. I feel like when Drew does win it, it will be here at home versus Crown Jewel. I feel like that's the potential is there for him to win it. It's not going to be too far down the line, but I think he is a good person to take it off of Seth. I just think it's not right now. Because again, from a business standpoint, other than Cody Rhodes on Raw, Drew is probably one of the more mainstream names at this point. You see him at movie premieres, you see him here, you see him there. Seth Rollins is extremely mainstream at this point, especially with all of this just having happened. Again, you're going to see him in, and I forget the Marvel movie off the top of my head, but that's coming around the corner. Thank you, Captain America. And you know that that's coming around the corner. You can tell my brain is fried when I don't remember that. my brain is fried today, ladies and gentlemen. But basically, he's coming up to that. Even though, yes, we have everything that's going on with the strike and whatnot, but Seth Rollins still has a lot of very mainstream appeal. So I can see Seth Rollins retaining. Do I think a cash-in is possible here? Yes. I can see a cash-in being possible here. Do I think it will be successful? I don't. Ooh. And I feel like that might be, they're going to have to tease tension somehow within the War Games, within the team. You know, we already have seen this with the Judgment Day, with the teasing of, you know, kind of the friction, like again, between Priest and Balor, who's the leader of the Judgment Day, you know, with Rhea Ripley, you're seeing all of that happen. And I think to further it, Damian Priest is going to have to lose the money in the bank briefcase and have an unsuccessful cash in. And that way Seth and Drew can continue to have their storyline, you know, kind of going through, which I know I feel like it's going to continue for a while. And Seth still continues to hold it and bring eyes until somebody else can show up, or at least maybe they build Drew, but somebody can show up that can take the mantle. Because again, with Roman Reigns also going into, like Kimmy mentioned, this is going to be Roman Reigns' last match of the year. You don't have that champion on TV. You need someone that's going to continue to draw eyes to the product. LA Knight can only do so much on SmackDown. You still need somebody to have a champion, to bring eyes to a championship belt, the one that's active on Raw. Right now, the only person that can do it, which it could have been Cody Rhodes if they hadn't beaten this thing to death, but Seth Rollins is your only person to do it. Keep people here while Roman Reigns is gone.
Kimmy's pretty happy with that. This is interesting, and Amanda, you hit it right on the head, because when you started talking, the chat took on a life of its own, and people were saying, is this match going to be first? I could see Damian Priest cashing in on Seth Rollins. So that kind of took on a life of its own. Very interesting. A lot of people saying, yeah, Damian Priest cashes in, wins here, doesn't win. Will this match be on first? So some great stuff here in the chat, guys. Check it out. Kimmy, are we going to the main event here?
Yes. You did a good job, Rob. Wikipedia served you so well this week. Let's see if it serves you well in two weeks.
Not condescending at all. Let's go. Well, it's the main event, and of course, we've been waiting for this one. LA Knight, let's go do it. Yeah, I know you're all doing it at home.
Yeah,
that's it. Oh,
thank
Matt
you.
Is that, ready.
That's legit. That's on point.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Oh man,
Matt,
this guy,
beautiful.
This guy's old school love in LA Knight before it was cool. versus
before it was LA Knight,
the Amanda's tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Gosh, going thousands of billions of days here. Matt, I think I'm going to let you take it home unless you want to go first. I think I'm going to let you close out the show.
I'll take it home, sure.
Yeah, because you've been a longtime fan. Amanda, I'm going to start with you, your tribal chief, Roman Reigns. Is there a chance he loses here to LA? LA Knight, very popular number one merch seller. We know the catchphrase. But can he just come in here and based on popularity and a little bit of storyline, take out the tribal chief?
I love LA Knight. Don't get me wrong. Okay. I think he's fantastic. I think he's fantastic in the ring. I think he's fantastic on the mic. I'm here yelling, yeah. Let me talk to you. I love LA Knight. I think he's absolutely amazing. I think he was destined to get here. The only thing that I see, and ironically, again, it's a WWE thing and it's not an LA Knight thing, is the Cody Rhodes of it all. And you know, if LA Knight wins the title off of Roman, something has to change in the storytelling. And LA Knight is so popular right now, and somebody has to give. And I don't know if WWE wants either to give in terms of a turn at all. And so I feel like if Cody wasn't around, if there wasn't that narrative that's already been planted, I could see LA Knight dethroning my tribal chief, who I love and adore. I love you, Roman. and coming in and taking it, because you know, wow, he has the charisma, he has the following. I think he has the appeal to both the wrestling fan and the mainstream. Like, I think he has that potential to cross over and to be the social slash kind of the end all be all, you know, the spokesperson for wrestling in the world. He has that potential. Tremendous. Just, I love him. But again, you've got the Cody of it all. And I don't feel like LA Knight's going to take the title from Roman. I think Roman's going to keep it. I think Roman's going to keep it until WrestleMania. Hate me, I know, but I think Roman's going to drop it, and it's going to have to be a big drop for Roman to do it. And right now his arrangement is working, and only a few people know why he's taking time off or what's going on or what's happening or what his schedule is. He has a sweet deal right now. It's working. Why fix it if it ain't broke? And Roman still gets a reaction one way or the other. I acknowledge my tribal chief.
Wow.
I think he will retain it. As much as I love LA Knight, and that hurts me saying it.
Lots of good stuff, Amanda. I mean, and I think you bring up a great point. I don't want to say it's problematic, but it's odd how between the two shows, it all does kind of revolve around Cody in some form or fashion. I think you bring up some great points. Lots of yes in the chats. BCP Plus. Yeah, I like that. I'm here for that. Thank you, guys. Damian Priest, yeah. We have no chance in hell Knight wins here. Very interesting in the chat. Lots of Romans in the chat. I have a feeling The Rock will go against Roman. Yeah, down the line, maybe at Mania. We'll see. That's another possibility for sure, guys. Kimmy shaking her head no. But Amanda, you bring up a great point. I'll go next. I'll throw it to Kimmy. LA Knight, man. I knew about him because of Matt. I knew Eli Drake. He, you know, you could have made him handcrafted for WWE. He had all the tools. He still does. Now he's getting to showcase that. I loved him on NXT. I thought he was great. Maybe better as a heel. And I guess I'm wrong here because he's killing it as a baby, killing it. I mean, if it makes dollars, it makes sense in this case anyway. As a babyface number one merch seller, the crowd connects with the catchphrase. The crowd connects with the persona, the wrestling. It's there. Preferably, I prefer a little bit more of a story or an emotional connection, but I'm getting there. I would have liked a little bit slightly more of a build here, and he's done a great job with what he's been given. And I'm getting a little picky because we have started doing more long-term storytelling, especially with Sammy, who does not get enough credit, and the Bloodline, because the last really long-term storyline before that was Ciampa and Johnny. And check out our interview with Johnny. I always throw it back to that, but we talked about long-term storytelling, and now we're getting so used to it, which is awesome. I'm here for it. My expectations are a little bit higher. That being said, I do not see LA Knight winning the championship here at all. It's going to be a great match. It's going to be about that moment where he's this close, and we saw it at Mania with Cody. It's like where it's at that disbelief. You're like, oh, wait, I was wrong. Like, he is going to win this. It's going to be about that particular moment. Like, he's going to do this. Like, they're going to do this, and it's going to get taken away from us so fast and break all of our hearts, especially Matt's. No offense, brother. You know I love you, man, but I don't think LA Knight, there's a chance, guys, in the chat. Let me know if you think LA Knight's got this one. Not here. Maybe they extend it into a series of matches. I don't want to say it's too soon because he earned the jetpack for sure, but there's no way LA Knight wins here. Kimmy, we're going to agree here.
I know. It's so sad. I honestly wish that this match would have taken place at the Royal Rumble just because I feel like the American crowd is getting robbed by not having this match here. Because if this took place in America, oh my God, the crowd would go electric. And not to say that they can't run it back at the Royal Rumble, but you know, just saying. But I'm so sorry, Matt. There is literally 0.000. You can't even do the Scott Steiner math to prove that LA Knight is not going to win. It is going to be Roman Reigns, and he'll
the Rick Steiner math gets done with crayons.
Yeah, and so yeah, it's gonna be Roman, and he'll go on to 2024 as still champion. Why? We all have no idea.
You brought up Royal Rumble, Kimmy, and maybe it's late, and I'm just fantasy booking over here, but I would say LA Knight's a strong contender to win the Royal Rumble, a strong front runner, a top five maybe.
And he is rumored. Him and Cody are the 1 and 2 for the men's Royal Rumble.
Thank you. So, fair enough. And so you would say, hypothetically, if LA Knight were to win, he would go on to face perhaps Seth, if Seth were still the World Heavyweight Champion at Mania?
I was like saying if Roman versus LA Knight took place at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view.
Right.
I wasn't saying LA Knight was winning the
Rumble. No, I understand that, but it made me start. I'm starting to think Royal Rumble, which is our favorite.
I do not think LA Knight's versus Seth Rollins. I said Gunther was my pick face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Or it could be true. I know. That's interesting.
It's not going to be true. He has yet to sign a deal.
Okay, fair enough. It's getting late. A lot of fun fantasy booking, which is the fun of it all. There's so many directions you can go. It's great. And again, Amanda always brings up, a lot of it revolves around Cody. It always kind of comes back to Cody in some form or fashion. I'm going to start paying attention to that a little bit more. I'm going to kind of just see how everything connects. Matt, Eli Drake, L.A. Knight. It's been a ride, man. Arguably. I mean, I don't think it's arguable. The biggest match of his career here. I mean, Does your guy win it, brother?
You know what? In the last year that he's been cut loose, they gave him his shot, and he brought a magnum to do it. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think the last time they were in Saudi Arabia was at Presser, is when people were chanting "L.A. Knight, L.A. Knight," and Triple H said, "Good things come to those who wait." So I think the only thing that way things go is with everybody saying Roman Reigns.
Oh.
This is not going any other way. If I can reference another pod here. Listening to Conan went on about this for about 12, 15 minutes. There's a lot of things you can do with this. If you really, really want to go ahead and do that, Jimmy could come in and screw things up when he's supposed to do it the other way and, you know, save Roman if there's a title change. So many other things you can do, but you're going to end this really historic reign that they have been working on for 3 years plus to go with a guy who I think is great and a guy who I think can carry that belt and go on Good Morning America and onto Jimmy Fallon and whatever else and hold his own. But what did you do with the last 3 years then? You had a plan. I don't see them not seeing it through, whether it's Cody or whether they end up switching gears between now and March, April in Philadelphia. I don't see it. One thing I think they'll try to – the other problem is you've got all this momentum behind this guy. And one of the problems with Roman not doing a whole lot, he's only had, 10 matches so far this year? Maybe, if that, right?
Yeah.
What was the last time he had a clean win?
Not this year.
Yeah. He kind of needs one. Who needs a clean win more than LA Knight needs the title win? It's kind of Roman. My guess for the finish on this one is Roman dusts off that guillotine choke and LA Knight, it's not quite going to be Brett and Austin with the blood dripping down. I don't see LA Knight tapping out. I see him trying to punch his way out until the punches get weaker and weaker and weaker until the ref calls it. He's still a fighter. He's still got the people behind him, but he didn't get it done that night.
Wow. Good stuff, man. And I know it hurts you on the inside to pick against your guy. I get it. But again, we got to take our heart out of it sometime, man. I appreciate that. Really great show, guys. Like, great insight. I'm so proud of you. I know I say that all the time. I'm so proud of y'all. You guys knocked it out of the park. Getting out of here, but real quick, getting out of the chat here. A lot of stats. I love the stats. Tim Rosen, great stat here, saying he did beat Riddle clean. Very interesting. Miguel in the chat saying the Universal title had switched hands twice at Crown Jewel, once with Bray, RIP, and Brock as well. Miguel in the chat also saying, plot twist, The Rock wins at the Royal Rumble. We're getting way ahead of ourselves. That's my fault. But I would kind of be here for that just because of the, Cody has it teed up and, you know, it just kind of gets pulled out from you like that moment. And we've been talking about it for 2 years. And, I think it was Vac 2 years ago saying that we wanted Cody to kind of have that moment. And he just had everything go the right way right up until WrestleMania. So that could be interesting. Really good stuff, guys. Great panel. I love it. Let's get out of here. But before we get out of here, we are all about that shameless promo here on the BCP. Amanda, you do a lot of stuff, doing a great job hosting a socially distanced podcast. You talk Star Wars. I think you're talking Doctor Who. Lots of good stuff. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so I am co-host of the Socially Distanced podcast on the Pop Break with my co-host and BCP, fellow BCPer, Bill Botkin. So we chat all kinds of nerd things. We just recorded our episode on Doctor Who, kind of our preview special. We'll have our NFC East group therapy session coming up. We'll definitely be covering the Doctor Who episodes as they drop. We'll check in with the Loki finale. We've got a lot coming up, so we're super excited. I also have a second podcast as well, also on the Pop Break, that I co-host with Josh Sarnecki, and it is on all things anime. So since I'm a huge anime fan, Josh and I both are, we talk about what is happening in the anime world in terms of what's mainstream, kind of some anime news. We have our special guests come on and talk about, what they're into as well. So that's Anime Pop, also on thepopbreak.com. And y'all can follow me at Amandalorian on Instagram. My significant other and I have also started a public cosplay account. So that is at Brandalorian. Nice. And I'll throw a little shout out for him as well. My significant other is the Flamingo King, Father Flock himself, Brandon Weiss. He is one half of the Flocking Brawlers and also has a really fun singles career as well. And he is at Brandon Weiss on all socials. So thanks again for having me, guys. This is great. I love it. My heart is happy talking wrestling with the fam.
Good. Great job, Amanda. Again, Amanda pops in the chat. Star Wars question mark. Hit us up at the U.S. Department of Nerds. Yeah, she's the original Mandalorian. That's right. Star Wars knows more Star Wars probably. And I know a lot of Star Wars aficionados. She may know the most. So U.S. Department of Nerds on Facebook. Thank you guys for sponsoring the show. Kimmy, let's get this scroll out of the way. You do a lot of stuff. You know, you got to hit your times here. All right. What do you got?
That's not my fault that every wrestler on the AEW roster is like, I want to work with Kimmy. That's not my fault. It's on them. So next week is the big event. We moved from Queens to Long Island. It is 2.5 hours from my house. I'm so excited for that drive. But I am working with WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus, Ruby Soho, and Anna Jay. So if you are in that area, you should go to Long Island and trek all the way over there. The Garcia twins are going to be there. Mandy Sachs, Trinity. There's over 90 talent. It is one of the biggest big events of all time. So again, if you're in the area, head up over there. Also, WrestleCade in North Carolina. It is my favorite convention of the whole year. There is over 200 talent coming to North Carolina for Thanksgiving weekend. And my friends over at Ultimate Stars are bringing in the Lucha Bros. And Rob, Matt, I know how much you love the Lucha Bros. You know, they're friends, pals. So make sure to check that out too. And then Icons of Wrestling is my last con of the year. I'm actually really depressed about that. I've had a good con year, and it's all ending so soon. So 2300 Arena, which is going to be really popular for WrestleMania week. If you know, you know. So also head over there in December. I host a Ring of Honor podcast. It's called All Things Honor. I recorded it right before I hopped on here, and Athena and Mercedes killed the main event tonight. So please go watch Ring of Honor and please support it. It's so good. And it's the only way you can watch Final Battle in December. You have to have a Honor Club subscription, so make sure to head that out. My podcast is on YouTube and Spotify. Just search All Things Honor. I'm here a lot. Rob, I heard a rumor that next week I'm going to be hijacking your interviews for Warriors of Wrestling. I heard a rumor.
Wait, what's going on now?
From a certain mutant and a certain other individual on the Warrior roster. They said they wanted to.
Really? I'm used to that. They're like, you know what, Rob? Is this Rob's show? He doesn't even have to be on it. That's fine. I'm used to that. I guess we could do that. And shout out, I forgot to mention Tony Page. Now Tony Booze joined the chat earlier. He will be on the show this month. And again, 11:10 Intergender Warfare. This one's in Brooklyn. It's going to be a great show. I think the Vicious One's taking on Giselle from Impact, Disco Dane, and Roger Mendez.
It's the White Claw Challenge.
What does that even mean?
Don't know. You have to ask Roger. Right, he does a lot of crazy things.
Taya Valkyrie.
It's when there are no laws.
I don't know.
When you're drinking claws.
Yeah.
I was about to say.
All right.
Is somebody winning a giant can of White Claw?
Maybe.
Can someone tag Roger Mendez in the chat and ask
him? He's,
I want to know.
The inmates are running the asylum over there and here as well. I kid, no. Warriors of Wrestling. We move tickets here on the BCB. By the way, people are saying, hey, I want to go to a big event. I want to meet so-and-so. Can you get to Long Island? Kimmy, we're moving tickets here. That's what we do here on the BCB.
Because I'm a promoting queen. I promote everyone's shit, but do people promote my shit? No, but you know what? I'm going to do the good thing because I want a good reputation here. I also write for the Pop Break. I do that too. I write a lot of things on there. So go check that out.
And it's good stuff.
Yes.
I read it's stuff. It's great.
It's apparently good stuff, according to Amanda.
Yeah,
and if she says it, that means it's true.
It's great. No, thank you guys for supporting. And over the popbreak.com, lots of good stuff. Great interviews. Kimmy writes a ton of good stuff. And one of my favorite writers, I'm not just saying that because you're here, Matt Wittes, man. Tell everyone what you got, man, and what's on the menu this week.
All right, what's on the menu? Funny you should mention that, Rob.
Ooh, don't tease me.
Yes, if you follow on Twitter/X, whichever one you want to go by, Anti-Smark with 2 A's, that's where I am. And in addition to me talking about sports, pro wrestling, comics, D&D, and other all-asserted nerdery, you occasionally get some nice pictures of smoked meats, and I think we'll throw up some couple of racks of ribs right after we get done with this. I'll throw those pictures up there, let people know what they're getting at. And one I'm on there, often throw in links to articles that I've been putting up on Pop Break. This week season 2 of Invincible drops on Prime Video. I'll let you know whether it's worth your time. Quick hint, yeah, it's going to be worth your time. But go ahead and check that out.
Love it, man. And through all of that, and thank you guys for standing up through the shameless promo. Anti-Smark is my type of guy. People are checking out Amanda's podcast. I'm setting up future collabs with the homies at BCP. Kimmy slayed it this year. I love the love. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate you watching. And guys, like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.